suppose in this collection there's things from my hometown of Manchester, and also a lot of where I now call home in West Cork. And this first poem bridges both those places. It's called The Boat Train. Snow is a poor Midas, turns all to base metal, trees to wire, soil to iron filings. A bulging sky pours a million grey globules. We lucky few have made the boat train. We hurtle down soothing steel, barges, ice to canals, ring roads etched with skid marks. Empty stations, unreachable by road, are framed for us in a flick book. Doors fling wide to wild strangers, shaking off flakes of outside. Slowly they drip dramas, mobile conversations of shops closing early, how to get the children from school, crosstalk over shopping bags, stories of abandoned cars. The sea is the colour of amalgam. Two drinkers bend close and murmur the tale of hill farmer brothers who dropped their key as they slogged home last night. This time is not now. We are sackcloth and ashes, starvelings in rags, ravaged by dogs and plague. We freeze to death in this flinty world. Pray for the train and the rails under it. Pray for the traveller outside in all weathers. Weave spells against the cold. The reflection of the woman in the Pullman seat opposite stares back at me with a skin of grey mountain. The stainless steel top trolley stops beside us. We wrap hands around our tea, taking warmth like survivors. Living on the Barra Peninsula, which is a fishing community, survival is quite a priority with the fishermen, and every year somebody doesn't manage to survive. I was sitting in a pub quite a few years ago now, and the fisherman came in and told me this story. It's called Luck. Corded wrist, thick fingers, set down the pint glass, snatch again at the coil of rope round his ankle as it drags him over the side. This is how we live through survival, telling and retelling how the gear swept him into chest-piercing water, left him helpless from the jolt, how he swung in thick dark, worked his hand loose, worked out which way was up, freed his foot from the noose and climbed up to the surface, the side of the boat like a building, faces of mates high on the rail waiting for his body to come up. He told them how he did it, the plans in bunk for every type of escape. Look. I was lucky enough to be born with a surname that means destruction, and also it's a Norse word for various animals, and it's the name of a goddess who's quite a tough lady. So I was trying to think about how many ways I am similar to these different things, and this one is called Skada. Call me magpie, loner, a flat fish lying low. Call me slow moon, outlying, always running contrary. Call me soft touch, impetuous, bad judge of character. Call me fatherless, beleaguered, forever needing home. Call me rage, unappeasable, revenge distilled in drops. Call me cunning, believer in laughter. Like so many other people, I've got three children on three different continents at the moment. One of them is fortunately still on the continent of Dublin, but the other two are around the world. And so these next three poems are about them. The first one is called Talisman. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who ever tried wings in a poem, but that this is meant to be a shape of a talisman. Daughter, what blueprints do you learn by heart to help you make it home? What signs to guide you? Tideline, headland, the green light of oaks, the winding course of rivers. You sketch contours on paper, pulped with comfrey and meadow sweet, to fold in half and half again, a swallow's heart to hide about you, to sew into the lining of your coat. My oldest lad is in Canada, and on his way there he went to New York and did a blog about the High Line, which some of you might know is a park that's been put on an elevated railway line above Manhattan. So although I've never been to New York, this is my response to his blog. Highline. If he were a train, he would be idling. If he were a train, he would drown traffic. If he were a train, he would shed heavy bars of shadow onto West 16th Street. Shunt forward, draw the eye, pick up speed, chop back room, backyard, back street, aircon, gutter, central heating pipe, shutter, dark overlaying light. He paces it out above car-stitched streets, Americ, one way, no stopping any time, spans a subtle Hudson, snaps ornamental grasses, railway sleepers rearing into benches, rhythms of windows and bricks, girders and rivets, adjuncts, angles, precincts, abutments. Picture him on the High Line, contained, reaching into distance. This one's called While I Was Looking for an Old Poem. While I was looking for an old poem, I found your letter to my son, aged 9. In it, so many questions about his dog, storms, swimming in the sea, how we all were, and diagrams of guitar chords, the needs to harden finger ends. You sent a harmonica in B flat along with it, and instructions on how to blow. Now he's 20. Plays in a band, calls his guitar Rosalie. I've stuck your letter to the fridge to remind him to reply the next time he comes home. So from that poem you might get the idea of how beautiful the area that I live in is. I want to read a poem now that I haven't read out loud before, because it's about chuffs, and I was trying to get into the sounds that chuffs are a kind of crow, in case you don't know. I was trying to get into the sound that chuffs make, and chuffs make quite an ugly sound, so I don't know how this poem is going to work, but I'm going to try it. Okay. Chuffs nest at the copper mines. Soot wings buff onyx. Red legs tack air acrobats to marin grass. Hidden cores strafe the copper shop pit. A cup of shrieking sound yanks high wire axe back from the mine stack. Siren sky, the pull of the tide. garden geometry. I planted love in a mist to fool the carrot fly, find myself taken in by the fuzz of unsteady green lolling among stripped lines of vegetables. Foil satellite dishes of pink and titanium blue quiver on flexing stems, crook sepal filaments at the sun, an irresistible sign to pick. On the kitchen table, their green halos crack, charge little screws of colour to hover on a net of spiny fractals, more lightning strike than carrot top. I'm a great believer when you live in the country that you need to make a barb anywhere you can. So I've written this poem called Mussel Farm, which is critical of mussel barrels. But I'm not really critical of the farm, you know. Basically, I just find it a bit funny that they have these really ugly blue barrels and try and pretend that they're like the sea. That's my problem with it. I got the wrong number down here. Excuse me. Yeah. Mussel Farm. Plastic barrels, the colour of blue signage, blister summer day sea, floor aquamarine, slinky aubergine, the pewter of a dull morning, string upon string raised welts across the bay. Blue barrels are fit for water butts, a makeshift kennel on a farm, bins. My next poem starts with a quote from Tennyson, so that means that that's the best poetry on the page, a risk you always take. It's called Riot. Break, break, break on thy cold grey stones, O sea, and would that my tongue could utter the thoughts that arise in me. Concrete blocks, bricks, bottles, car batteries, old televisions get tipped from this kitchen ceiling. When the dust settles, I'm still here, scattered in the debris, infill for the next smoothing over. Called Persephone. In the hyphen between beats, he pressed the pale fruit into my hand. It wasn't the smell or smoothness or roundness that seduced me, but the knowledge that it had once been alive, growing green on the tree. I tore open the flesh, tipped three viscid seeds with my tongue. The taste was asphodel and honey, roped me to the eternal with a blood-red cord. Grafted to this line, I dug my way out. The frost, the hard ground of perpetual winter, is only a mist. They had barely noticed me gone. How they despised my dirty clothes, my bloody stumps of fingers. You've heard the verdict. I'm his for half the time, but 6 months is too long to be buried alive. Now my nights belong to him, and in the day I pick my way with care, for fear I fall into my own shadow. when my children were small, we lived next to quite a large ring fort, which had been used as a graveyard for unbaptized babies. And this was called a kilinac. This kilinac. She stepped through a gap, beckoned by the mewling on the wind of sisters put down in unholy ground like blighted husks. Her fingers picked seepings and spurge on the hummocks, and my mouth worked in silence as I circled, ears straining for her cry, throat tensed for a reckoning. I was reading the other day that the name of this poem is now considered a cliché, but it's too late. Okay. It's called God Particle. Clear plastic spirograph pieces in a red cardboard box. A watch mechanism. I am a 10-year-old prime mover determining the shape of the universe. Will it be perfect circle? Or ellipse. I pin paper, an outer shape to the board, choose a smaller cog to run round it, tooth to outer tooth, insert a pen through the dial and begin a circular motion, slow, then picking up speed. Clockwise, counterclockwise I roll, change colour, gears, track planets, build an interlace of curves, parabolas, spirals in a pattern still unclear, glimpsed through the music of the spheres. Well, I began with a journey poem, and I'm going to end with a journey poem, but I'm still kind of spinning a bit on this one. I'm sure it's become apparent what country I was in. It's the most amazing country I've ever been to, anyway. Find the name of the thing. It's called Interior. When we came home, I added two samples of volcanic rock to the line of reminders on the shelf. Tufa, a lumpy, light brown cinder. Obsidian. Dense, black, faceted. We had parted. You for a 3-day trek through the mountains. I to explore the foothills at Land Malalaga. Craters soaked in alchemical colours. Smoking lakes fed by geothermal streams. Tall tufa shapes menacing at twilight. Back at the hut, I slid into my sleeping bag, awoke to a dark so thick it pushed out the walls and took me with it, at once small as a wormhole and wide as the curve of star-netted space. I am a worm, curled round the axis of an astrolabe. Imperceptibly, I revolve. I return to you down lava ash roads, on a bus built to stand the force of rivers. In Reykjavik, you pressed a chip of obsidian into my hand, described deep gorges and glaciers, a plateau of black scree murderous underfoot, how each stone caught the light. Later, in the short dark hours, we drank beer in the backyard of a bar, a nugget of darkness in my palm, while a singer opened her throat.